Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. This is Jennifer Hillman, Intuitive Life Coach and the host of AIR, and it is a very great honor for me to be speaking to Scott Bloom, who is the author and the co-founder of Daily Om, a popular spiritual website, Summer Path, and Waiting for Auburn, which the focus more on the Waiting for Auburn. Scott is a successful multimedia artist who has collaborated with many popular musicians, authors, and visual artists, and produced many critically acclaimed works. For more information about Scott, you can check out his websites at www.scottbloom.net or thedailyom.com. Thank you, Scott, so much for being on the program tonight on such notice. I really appreciate your time and energy for doing this.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Now, I read the book and could totally relate to the experiences in here.
Oh, that's great.
It was awesome. And you insisted that I read the book before this interview. I'm so glad you did.
It makes it easier to talk about.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of notes around, but it makes a difference. It does make a difference. Now, you've labeled this book as a fiction. However, your main character is named the same as you. So is this semi-autobiographical?
Yes, actually it is. It's a combination of fact and fiction. A lot of the experiences that happened that are in the book, the more metaphysical experiences, are actually true. They happened to me over the period of the last 20 years or so. And when writing Waiting for Autumn, what I did is instead of just doing it a journal entry and making it seem like a diary of things that happened over 20 years, the storyline takes place over a three month period. So that's where the fictional thread comes in, is to basically tie it all together.
Really condensed it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Don't you wish the spiritual experience in a way would be that fast?
Oh yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, they kind of prolonged it a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Scott, in the story, and you had a shamanic soul retrieval,
uh-huh,
and other many spiritual healing modalities. What are your thoughts on these types of spiritual modalities of healing, and what was your experience with them?
Right. Well, starting with soul retrieval, that actually was something that helped me a lot. And one of the things that I found is when we have difficult experiences, as you know, some younger in life, and maybe it's like having a traumatic event, as you know, childhood trauma,
mm-hmm,
or perhaps a loved one dies. What we have a tendency to do is to try to deaden a piece of ourselves, and so we don't feel the pain from that experience. So it's very similar to when you have physical shock, and you know, you go into shock so you don't feel something. And so our soul does the same thing. However, it's not designed to be a permanent state, and a lot of us, especially in today's day and age, really believe that the more that we can deaden that experience and not feel the pain from a difficult experience, the more we're over it. And in fact, it's actually the opposite. And so one of the things that some Native American traditions believe is that when you're at that place where you have a difficult experience, you've actually given a piece of your soul away.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you get older and, you know, you're into your 30s, 40s, 50s, et cetera, that when you continue to have all of these difficult situations, that you have less and less of your soul to feel from. And so that's why a lot of us, as we get older, really try to make our decisions based solely on our intellect and not live from our heart center, is because we don't really have access to a lot of our soul that gives us that feeling place. And so in shamanic soul retrieval, what's done is usually a shaman help, but you can do it yourself as well, where you journey back to that place in time, and you effectively relive that experience and then retrieve a piece of your soul and bring it back to yourself, where you can then live with that piece of your soul. And not only do you have more of your soul to feel from, as I was explaining before, mm-hmm. but you also have the ability to draw from the wisdom, which is now inherent in that piece of your soul because it went through that difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you could do it on your own. Do you suggest specific CDs? Or is it just something like getting into a deep meditation and going back?
I would say that the I'm not sure of a CD that actually helps with that, although, you know, there very well could be some, and I would love to find out about them if anybody knows about it. But as far as getting quiet with yourself, sort of as you were suggesting, is definitely the first step. So getting quiet with yourself, meditating, and doing your best to be first identifying what is, you know, some of the most difficult situations that you've gone through in your life that you haven't truly dealt with. That mm-hmm. you've tried to push down and it keeps on bubbling up when you least expect it.
Yeah. I have gone through many soul retrievals.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful, really empowering thing to do. I highly recommend it. And it really does help you kind of realize and appreciate the journey you've gone through and have kind of chosen for this lifetime, in a sense. Not always easy. There are a lot, just so you know, there are a lot of drumming CDs that will take you back.
Mm.
And I will be happy to send you a list, and I'll put a list on my website of some of those, because they are pretty remarkable how they do take you back and really can help you retrieve bits and pieces of yourself that you're missing.
Yeah, that's great. And, well, another technique that I've learned is once you've gotten quiet with yourself and you've identified that place, and going back to it, whether you use a CD, which I'm very much looking forward to hearing, or you use meditation and you get to that place, my experience is that there are definitely different parts of it that are unlocked when you try to relive mm-hmm. it. And although some of the feelings come back to you, there are oftentimes, at least again in my experience, that are different holes that you don't quite fully get without some other aid. And one of the things that helped me is to actually, if some of these experiences happened, for example, in, you know, childhood or adolescent years, that you physically travel to the place where those things have happened. And if you were like living with your parents as, you know, a young child, and they're no longer living in that house anymore, for example, getting out your hand and knocking on the door and asking to go in and walk around the house, believe it or not, unlocks an awful lot and has given me some of those extra pieces that I didn't understand were missing until I did that. It sounds kind of strange in this day and age to just knock on some stranger's door, but most of the people will say yes, and mm-hmm. I found it very helpful.
Yes, it definitely does make a difference too. I've traveled to my childhood home, so I can concur it really does help tremendously with that. So through the shamanic journey, through there was, in this story, there was a raven, and that really is a very powerful totem that really is significant in going into the darkness and finding the light to bring it out. Do you feel that the raven is still one of your power totems?
I think yes, because I don't really attach myself to, time as a limiting factor. The ravens definitely come into my life when there's change happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, oftentimes very dramatically when, like in the book, that part actually happened with several dozens, probably 40, 50 ravens circling around my head. And so whenever I find myself at a crossroads where it's just unclear to me what to do, Usually a single raven will fly by, and if I'm trying to ignore it too much, then, as I say, dozens come out and make it, you know, clear.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore them, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the other totem that definitely came around was the dragonfly.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And your book is so beautifully illustrated in typeset.
Oh, thank you very much.
My background is graphic design, so I always look at those things. So with the connection with the nature spirits, mm-hmm. and being in such a place that is very much nature-bound, I mean, you've got a beautiful area that you're living in. Do you think it's really, you needed to be in such a healing place for you to truly heal to the point that you have? Or
yeah,
do you think where you are doesn't really matter, it's just state of mind?
I would say that different people need different aids and things that help them. One of the things that really helped me was trying to find that connection between living in, you know, harmony with nature.
Mm-hmm.
And before I moved to Ashland, Oregon, which is where I'm living now, I lived in Los Angeles. And Los Angeles, you know, it has a lot of great things going for it, but as far as living in concert with nature, it takes a lot more effort, especially, you know, the seasons. There's only one basic season, and that's summer the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so moving to Ashland, just the seasons were such, you know, so dramatic and allowing me to, you know, forcing me to look at nature every 3 months and saying, okay, now it's spring, you know, now it's summer, now it's et cetera. And so it did allow me to connect to it, and it was just a lot easier. However, when we were living in the city and we were trying to draw from living in concert with nature, we were trying to consciously do it, and although it was much more difficult, there were things you could do, and one of the easiest things is to eat with the seasons. So when you would go to, you know, local grocery store, don't just buy what you like, but really research what mm-hmm. is in season right now. And not only is it more healthy, but it allows you to be more conscious of really having that connection between you and nature. And so although it is easier to live in concert with nature, and in my experience drawing from some of that help with the nature spirits in Ashland, it's not the only way you can do it. I mean, some people use, you know, monks and temples and those types of things, which, you know, towns like Los Angeles have many of. So it just depends on, you know, what you find helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now, during your journey, you were raised agnostic. So did you find yourself searching for some kind of grounding post in spirituality, a certain modality, or did you find that just experiencing life as life and not necessarily finding that one way to guide you felt a better way for you? And I know it's an individual choice.
Yeah, for me, I think that what I really was trying to do during the entire journey is that's illustrated in the book, is to try to find out what my own personal way is and what my own personal destiny and my own personal path is. Now, the way that I found that out are from many different ways. Some are with gurus and people that will help me. Some are with traditional healing modalities. Some are more experimental modalities. And ultimately, being able to go within and trust my own intuition. And so although intuition should definitely guide every step of the way, for me, I found it helpful to use some of these tools along the way, although I wasn't necessarily, you know, going out to become a Buddhist or a Hindu,
right,
or whatever. I would just go with whatever my heart drew me to, and I would experience that and then wait until my heart gave me indication to do something else.
Now, in the book, you also experienced a group situation healing modality. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, the one of the things that have been after soul retrieval that has been helpful for me is the concept of ancestral healing. And basically, what ancestral healing is acknowledging that sometimes when you're doing your self-healing work and you're trying to help yourself, you come across these situations and these issues that just simply can't be resolved with our, you know, current way of looking at things. And we start to realize that this isn't something that we imposed on ourselves or something that our parents imposed on us, but it's something inherent that almost feels like part of our genetic makeup, that we just can't seem to get beyond a particular issue. And when I was talking about the soul retrieval earlier, when you have a difficult situation, and let's say that, you know, a piece of your soul has been lost, and we try our best to ignore that throughout our whole lives, when we die, that issue does not go away. Hmm. That issue actually gets passed on to our children and our children's children, etc., and continues to get passed on, even if there is no conscious awareness of that, until somebody deals with that in a very real and healing way. And so there's many different ways of ancestral healing, but the one that I have found is one of the most powerful ones that I've been exposed to is called constellation work. And constellation work was founded by a psychiatrist in Germany named Bert Hellinger. And effectively what it is a spiritual theater where a group of people get together for a healing session. And let's say that you are the one who is going and going to be getting a constellation done for you.
Okay.
You would then you know, have an issue that you want to resolve, and then you would pick different people in your life that you believe are either affecting this situation or being affected by it. And so you might pick a representative to represent yourself from the group of people that are in the healing session, somebody to represent maybe your partner, maybe your child, and maybe your parents.
Right.
Then once they get into the center of the circle, you actually sit outside of the circle and watch this unfold. And then the facilitator might then come up with other, might be given other information where they might bring in, like, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, or, you know, your first love, or different things that Spirit is guiding them to bring in. And then they begin to act out these different plays, for lack of a better word. And it's some of the most powerful healing that I've ever experienced. It's incredible.
Now, when you're doing a constellation healing, do you focus on one age, or can you have several ages of yourself within it?
Yeah, it totally depends on the constellation. There are definitely rules and an internal logic that the facilitators follow, but as far as time is not a limiting factor at all. So definitely having different, my experience is, I have seen that a couple of times now that you bring it up, where, yeah, people do come in at different ages and they interact with each other. It's usually trying to free up the family line. So it's not common, but yeah, it does happen.
So with that healing, you really became very sensitive. Do you have any suggestions to the audience on ways to take on the extra energy or the extra sensitivity, or understand that they're not freaking out? Because a lot of people with the shifts that are going on now are becoming more and more sensitive because they're clearing a lot more things at more issues up. Do you have any suggestions on protection or things that would help them deal with suddenly feeling more and hearing more and seeing more?
Right. Yeah, actually, all of that, you know, that's a whole big subject. And in retrospect, after writing my book, I realized that was probably one of the most powerful lessons that I was able to convey in the book.
Mm-hmm.
In my own personal experience, as I said, that my book is a combination of fact and fiction. And one of the things that happened to me at an early age I was taken under the wing of a guru and brought into a lot of these, these metaphysical experiences and that I talk about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really adept at getting me into these situations, but had no clue how to get me out of them.
Right.
And so I found myself in a very, very difficult situation where I almost didn't make it through or continue on this physical plane because I just did not. I was just in a really bad situation from what he brought me into. And I'm finding in today's day and age with the quickening of spirituality and the healing and all of this going on right now, people are going so quickly into a lot of these things that in the same way that I was involved with a reckless teacher, the entire world is now going after a lot of these situations without any teacher at all.
Right.
And when I first moved to Ashland, I was actually shocked at how much was going on in this town. It's a very spiritual town.
Very.
But as far as constellations specifically, you could probably find a constellation in this town. It's a tiny town of 20,000 people. You could probably find a constellation going on every night if you want to. And I was just surprised at first of all, how frequent they were, especially about something that I wasn't very familiar with. And second of all, once I did get into it and experience it, I was surprised at how powerful this was. And, if you want to talk about metaphysically what is going on during a constellation, is that the people that are in the circle are actually channeling the spirits of these different entities. And so that puts the people that are involved in a very sensitive position, and you need to... you inherently put a lot of trust into the facilitator by allowing that to happen and to, hold that container of safety around you and around the constellation itself. And so there were people that were leaving these constellations and were getting their energy sucked dry by, hangers-on and energy vampires, et cetera, that weren't properly cleared. And this is happening more and more. So the first thing that I recommend, that's kind of the background. The first thing I would recommend is when you're talking about any of these things, a lot of this, what I talk about in the book and what we're talking about today, is very advanced. And so first of all, acknowledge that it's advanced and that you do need to have somebody that you trust that has experience facilitating these. This isn't something you just go on the internet and say, oh, well, how does this work? Hey, let's do a constellation. Instead, please find somebody that is very experienced in this and is conscious about clearing the energy afterwards, preparing the energy, invoking it, and then afterwards clearing it. So that's the first thing to do. The second thing is to really have the intent in your heart of carrying that safety. And one of the simplest things that works in many healing situations is, surrounding yourself with white light, protective bubble around you, that type of thing is helpful on almost all of these circumstances. But the main thing is to try to bring in somebody that has much more knowledge and wisdom than you do, and that could only be that is possible to only be for a particular short amount of time. And just because you find somebody that's very helpful for you in a particular time doesn't mean that they're going to be somebody that's going to be able to protect you, for years and years and years. So just let your heart be your guidance, and if you feel unsafe in any way, it's possible that you are, and that's when it's good to back out first, if you feel like you can't go any further, surround yourself with light, and if you can back out, then try to find somebody that can help you and really guide you further.
So you were very lucky because you did have someone that helped you through.
Well, I had somebody that helped me into, and actually myself, I didn't have anybody to help me through. So it was basically luck and fate which allowed me to continue.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
The teacher was able to clean up his mess. Is that a more accurate way of saying it?
No, the teacher basically dropped me like a hot potato back the other way because he didn't know what was going on.
Okay.
So I totally lucked out. I had my guides, so I would say that definitely there were people that were helping me, or there were spirits that were helping me, but they were definitely not of this world. And it was by their grace that I was able to continue.
Well, I want to also give you, you had the strength to carry through. You had the knowledge and the wisdom to know something's not right and call on to help. It might have been subconscious, but you knew something wasn't right, and the spirits were there to help you through. And you had the strength to get through it. A lot of people would have succumbed quite quickly going through the traumatic experience you went through.
I thank you very much. I accept what you're saying. But that being said, just so it's completely, out in the open, what I had to do in order to garner that strength was to stop all spirituality for almost 15 years. I wouldn't allow myself to do any spiritual practices whatsoever, because any time I got remotely near anything, even meditation or something like that, it would scare me to the point where I would shut down. And so what I really needed to do is to run away from it and almost quit cold turkey, like somebody that was addicted to cigarettes or alcohol or something had to do. And then 15 years later, then I was able to reintroduce it slowly with, you know, meditation and yoga.
Right.
And then now, I feel like I've now come back to where I was back then. But for the majority of the last 20 years, I wasn't able to practice anything.
Well, it was a scary experience for you. So
absolutely.
I totally commend you for getting through it. Speaking of the other side in the spiritual realm, you had a few visits over there, and you enjoyed it. Is it still tempting to stay over there a little more than come down here when you hear about the wars and the economy and everything is going on, or do you see rays of hope for humanity down here?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I don't really view things quite like that.
Okay.
I definitely spend time in both places now, although I wasn't able to, like I said, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now able to go back and forth. But now I look at it more that I'm going there to obtain wisdom that I can then bring back to help people here. I think what has happened, especially over the last 5 years, is I've really identified my own personal path, and finding that as the days are unfolding and the months are moving into years, that my personal destiny is now moving out of healing myself and really trying to help heal others. And so since that's the case, journeying to the spirit world nowadays is truly all about bringing back wisdom that I can use to help others. So I don't really look at it as, do we have hope or not, because this is my destiny. And so if I felt like I didn't have hope, then I would have nothing to live for. So this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So.
And you definitely are helping many people and be very inspired by all the work you do.
Oh, thank
you. Books and the Daily Om. And how did the Daily Om come about?
Yeah, actually, that's a good story, because that's everything that we've been talking about. When I was in Los Angeles, I had just sold my internet music company to a music industry company in Los Angeles, which is why I moved from Seattle to LA in the first place. And so I was, involved in the whole Los Angeles lifestyle, commuting 45 minutes each way to work, and just all of the craziness that's going on with that. And my wife was my wife Madison Taylor started an aromatherapy company, which was quite successful, making soy wax candles. And it got so big that I decided to quit my job in the music industry and start working with her. And so what we did is right after we started working, we were spending all of this energy, trying to make the company work, trying to do all this commuting, just, all of this effort in to deal with Los Angeles. And then at night, we would spend all of our time meditating and doing yoga and doing everything we could to stay balanced in this crazy world.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided what we really wanted to do was to integrate that time when we were balanced and conscious with our professional lives. So it wasn't something that we would use our professional lives to fund all of this spare time, but to really integrate all of that consciousness into everything we did. And so Daily Om was actually initially a very personal thing, almost selfish, where we just wanted to live that on a daily basis for ourselves. And so my wife started writing these messages of consciousness and awareness and emailing them to our friends. And then, you know, with my experience in technology and marketing and all of that stuff, over the years now we have 1 million subscribers. So I think that that's the way it started with for ourselves. But then as soon as it happened and it started taking off, which, you know, quickly became our number one thing to do because it grew so quickly,
mm-hmm.
Then we started to realize that this was just the universe's way of tricking us into doing this, that it wasn't really for us. It was actually for everyone. And
right.
So now, we're now of service to Daily Om as opposed to it being a service to us.
But don't you think all grand ideas that the universe gives us, they kind of trick us that way anyway?
Well, I think if it tricked us that way, then we would, every time, then we would get aware after a while. But I think that it definitely tricks us on a regular basis,
yes,
in many different ways, and it always keeps me on my toes.
Yes, and I enjoy being on my toes, and I always have a smile on my face when they do it to me. It's like, you did it again, thank you.
Yeah.
So, with the Daily Om, how did that contribute to this book?
Well, I think that the first thing it did was to allow me to be in this space where I began to trust my heart. You know, being in the technology world for so long and doing interactive entertainment since the 80s, I oftentimes relied on my intellect for everything. It's just, you know, the smarter I could be, the more I would succeed. And the first thing that the Daily Om did was whenever I relied completely on my intellect, then it would backfire, and it wouldn't make any mm-hmm. sense at all. There were times, probably for the first year and a half, that the smarter that I was and the more that I figured things out and the more clever I became, the less it would work, and it would just completely blow up every time I came up with that. So once I began to trust that the universe was really in control, and like I said, we were being in service to Daily Om instead of the other way around, then the universe allowed me to use my intellect once again, as long as I used my intuition first.
Right.
And so by living from that place and identifying that, when the book came to me, and, you know, I had no desire to write a book. I had no designs to write it. I had no idea for it. In fact, we had just moved to Ashland. We were working on remodeling our house. We had construction workers showing up at 6 a.m. every day. You know, definitely not a good time to start a new venture, let alone writing, which I had no experience with or whatever. But one day I woke up and the book just came to me, and I would say that the entire book was downloaded to me in less than 2 seconds. And so I just, after trying to ignore it for several weeks, I felt it was becoming physically painful for me to keep it inside. And the only thing to really ease the pain was to start writing it and putting it out there. So accepting with grace when things happen, first of all, acknowledging when things are happening and given to us like this, and then accepting with grace and doing our best to move forward with it is what Daily Om taught me, and then allowed the book to come, you know, to come through me at all, you know, in the first place. So that was the main thing. And then the other thing is, you know, we're blessed to work with some of the most, you know, incredible wisdom holders of the world right now by mm-hmm. doing online courses with them and partnering with all of these different wonderful people and getting to know these people personally as well as professionally, that being exposed to that level of energy exchange, you know, is remarkable. And so that, I'm sure, contributed to the book as well.
Now, in the book, you mentioned the difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain the difference to my audience?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that I summed it up with a formula, with it, which is wisdom equals knowledge plus experience. And so knowledge is definitely something that you can learn through, you know, if we're talking about spiritual practices, through, you know, teachings with a guru or religion or you know, reading sacred texts, those types of things. But until you have an experience to put that into context, then wisdom doesn't occur. And wisdom is truly when knowledge becomes useful. Now, that's why a lot of, you know, wise people are oftentimes, you know, older sages, is because they have that life experience. Now, there's other ways of obtaining that wisdom, and that's some of the things that we've been talking about today, you know, in this conversation, which is living in alignment with nature and partnering in some ways on a soul level with other sort of wise souls. And the other thing is, depending on your particular situation, going within, and if you have, like in my case, I'm an old soul, that you can then draw from previous experiences and find that wisdom within you as well. So there's many ways of drawing from wisdom, but just reading, you know, sacred texts or being taught or going to you know, sort of religious ceremonies will give you a lot of knowledge, and you definitely need to put that into context with some level of experience before it becomes useful for you.
Right. You have to walk through it to really, and just not talk it.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a sense, you really need to experience the knowledge.
Right.
To have the wisdom.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you find that these days that more people are really coming to the Daily Om to overcome their own fears? They're looking for that insight within this website to help them overcome something. Do you see that kind of responsibility?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could tell that what, like, our most popular online course is with a wisdom holder named Debbie Ford,
mm-hmm.
called Overcoming Self-Sabotage. And I think that that really shows where a lot of people are at in their spiritual journey, is they're acknowledging that they are at odds with themselves. And fear is definitely one of the key ways of self-sabotage. But that being said, it's not good to you know, to vilify fear either, because
mm-mm.
fear is actually a very good, a very good defense mechanism. It's designed, you know, for example, if you find yourself in the middle of a road and the truck starts running up towards you, fear is going to completely take over your entire being. And if you're thinking about meditating and you're thinking about your children and you're thinking about all of these different things, even if you're in the best space possible, fear will take you over completely,
mm-hmm.
and then say, get out of the way.
Right. Move.
And so yeah, move, exactly. So fear is a good thing, and it's not good, you know, it's best not to vilify it. But what the problem is like any drug, a little goes a long way, and you know, having it on occasion to relieve, you know, pain, if we're talking about, you know, painkillers or whatever,
right.
or to get you out of a situation is good, but then relying on that is going to then consume you and take you over, and then effectively make you paralyzed, and you're not going to be able to move forward because you're going to be fearing everything, and, you know, no is going to be your best friend, and, you know, not doing anything, and then you're going to, you know, begin to wilt, and it's not going to do anybody any good. So it's best not to rely on fear and consume us, and I think that that's what a lot of people do, is they feel like, oh, well, this keeps me safe, and it's designed to keep you safe, but it's not a place that's designed to be lived in. And so it's good to use it on, you know, in very, very tiny small doses, and,
right,
and not on a regular basis.
Right. It definitely can be quite the motivator as well as paralyzer.
Yeah.
And it's just in the perspective as you take it, and a lot of people are now finding ways to overcome their addiction to the fear and the methods that they're doing it. And in my own practice, I find that understanding where the fear comes and acknowledging it is a great way to overcome it, because a lot of people don't understand where it came from originally. So
yeah,
there's a lot of things
really
out there.
It's definitely really a really good thing to work on, for sure.
Yeah. Working on the shadow and make it your friend is always a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. Which, by the way, Debbie Ford, who did the Overcoming Self-Sabotage, she does a lot of shadow work.
Yes. She's wonderful. I've read many of her books, and she is a wonderful coach. She is a wonderful teacher.
Yeah. And a great human being as well. She's a great
human. So, I've got to ask you, what happened to the dog?
Well, the dog, there's definitely some, this is an example of where truth blends into fiction.
Mm-hmm.
There actually isn't a dog.
Okay.
Although there is a pet that teaches me many of these lessons. And so the pet that the dog is based on, who's, by the way, a cat, is still with us. Although
she's been
through lots of trials and tribulations and has taught me some of my most profound lessons, even in the past in the past few weeks, she just continues to teach. We just had our first child was born 3 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you very much. And the cat was definitely very involved in teaching us of how to properly welcome him. So it was pretty amazing.
Excellent. That's congratulations. Awesome. A new experience.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
And people do underestimate what wonderful teachers dogs are, and animals overall.
Right.
I always pay attention. I have dogs myself, and I actually had the experience of one dog showing me all my negative aspects and another dog showing all my positive.
Oh, that's great.
And I was very glad that Spirit made me realize what the difference was. And so I definitely pay attention to the animals and everything they bring.
Yeah, there's a purity to the communication where there's not as many masks that's between you and the actual information that's being conveyed. And so being able to plug into it in some ways is really powerful and in some ways easier than having to try to filter through the same communication with humans.
Yes. Yes, you get a lot of mixed communication with humans. With animals, it's straightforward and to the point.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, with this book, what was your mission with it? Just to explain what's it like to go through a spiritual awakening, to kind of open up people to what they may be going through?
Well, I think that the main thing that I was trying to accomplish is to allow, to give people an example of what is it like to live from their heart center, and what is it like to identify their own personal destiny and live from it. Because I think a lot of people want to actually follow their own path and to really live in alignment with nature and with the universe, but they just don't know how to do it and how to know when you're on the right path. And I like to say that there isn't really a path to enlightenment. There's actually a path of enlightenment, and it's this constant struggle and this constant being conscious of being on that path that you need to be aware of and make a choice, not only every day, but almost every second of the day. And it's
mm-hmm.
easy to fall off of it, and just as easy to get back on. And so by sharing my journey, what I'm hoping is that people are going to then identify and say, okay, living my own personal destiny might not be following, Scott's path and doing all of the things that he did, but being able to feel into how did I determine when I was on the right path and when I wasn't, and then take that information and then inform our own daily life. So then when we're at that place and these crossroads happen, which happen, like I said, almost every second of every day,
mm-hmm.
that we know when to choose that. And then we don't have to, we do have free choice, and we can, completely ignore our destiny, and that's totally fine. But knowing when you're doing it and being conscious of it is the first step. And I'm hoping that this gives an example of how to to actually be sensitive to that.
Right. Speaking of being conscious every moment of every day, have you found with the daily Om growing in the book and everything you're doing, do you see yourself ever really catching yourself getting off track?
Oh, yeah, I get off track every day. Absolutely. Absolutely. And every time I say, oh, I'm on the path, then that means I'm totally not on the path.
Right.
So, you know, even in
you're
talking about
you're trying to fool
it,
yourself.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what?
I said you're trying to fool yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And probably even talking about it on this conversation means I'm falling off a little bit. But that's okay. I think that, yeah, it's a constant struggle. And struggle isn't the right way. I think the right word is really practice. You know,
right.
It's a constant practice that we need to continue to do. And there is no end. It's just where we are at the moment, and that's good enough.
Yeah, I had a client who says, because I do work with the shadow quite a bit, and I'm working with somebody who goes, all right, I just want to get that shadow out of the way and keep going. I'm going, think again.
Right. That's not the point.
No, yeah.
It's
and it's
concert with your shadow.
Yeah. It's a nice dance that you do with your shadow. It's just you got to be able to win to take the lead.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change the subject a little bit.
Okay.
Since you worked with music so much,
yep.
How did that inspire you, change you to work with music? Because music to me is a very powerful way of connecting with myself. And I myself feel that music is really a very powerful, high vibe energy. How did working with, do you think that was really a strong part of you really being on your spiritual path?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I thought of it exactly that way before, but definitely, you know, my music and listening to music and playing music and being part of music is definitely a connection to, you know, to the spirit world, which is unlike any other connection. And it's very powerful, and it has, you know, a way of, as you say, connecting within oneself, but also to one another as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I collect records. I collect vinyl, and I have, you know, thousands of records that I collect constantly and listen to music at least, you know, 10 to 15 records a day, every day.
Yeah.
So absolutely, music is a huge part of my life. And you know, my father was a jazz musician, and he found that was the only time that he could actually, in his words, connect to God is through playing jazz. So, and I think that if you look at jazz musicians, oftentimes are more vocal about that than many other types of musicians, like John Coltrane and Miles Davis and people like that, that really connect the dots between spirituality and music. Yeah, and music is incredible. And one of the things that I'm finding right now is talking about when we were talking about ancestral healing. As I'm getting deeper into my personal ancestry, which happens to have a lot of Native American background,
right?
That plugging into the Native American ancestry and music. And triangulating that to where I am today is opening up an entirely new avenue that I never knew existed, and not that you asked, but that's where my own personal spiritual path is leading me right now.
Right. So it's going around in circles in a way. I mean,
yeah,
it's getting you back
deeper,
home
yeah.
in a way with your ancestry.
Yes. Yes. Everything informs everything.
Yes, it does. And we are truly all one, and it all definitely makes a difference. Now, what else do you have planned? What else is going on? You guys have a contest, or is the contest over?
Oh, yeah. That when you buy the book, you can also enter to win a metaphysical spa weekend to Ashland, Oregon, which is a great contest where we get two plane tickets from anywhere in the continental U.S. to Ashland, Oregon, my hometown, which I love, two nights stay in a great hotel, spa treatments, Reiki sessions, tickets to the Shakespeare Theater, which is what the town's known for, wonderful food, gift certificate to New Age store. It's an incredible package. So you can You can do that at scottbloom.net. And then no matter where you buy the book from, if you buy it from your local bookstore, which I definitely encourage if you have a local bookstore, please support them, that or Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Borders or all of the places that are carrying the book right now, you can also plug in your information into my website and unlock another 175 free gifts. So anybody that buys the book from anywhere can get all of that and enter the contest.
Wow, that's awesome. So is there any final words of wisdom that you would like to, we have about 5 minutes left. What other wisdoms would you like to share with the audience? Anything specific?
Well, I think that really, I would like to reiterate the concept of finding your own personal destiny, because I think a lot of us have been going through the life, our lives, and trying our best to convince ourselves that we're in control of that. And by being in control of our life and saying, okay, I want to be rich, or I want to be, you know, talented, or I want to live in a nice house, or whatever, that doesn't always help what you came on this planet to do. And so before you were born, you effectively entered into what's called a soul contract with the universe, mm-hmm. where you decided that this is what I'm going to accomplish on this life. And by going through the life and leading it completely from your head and saying, I want these things and I want to do these things and I want to have these sorts of lives, the universe will let you do that. But you're really not doing anything to satisfy the reason you're on this earth. And of course, the main reason we're all here is to help each other. But specifically, how we go about that is our own personal destiny and our own personal path. And so doing everything you can to clear up those blockages that prevent you from living from your heart center and actually feeling when you're on the path is the first thing that we should all do. And then once we've done that, I can guarantee that the amount of energy that you're going to spend every day by fighting your destiny and trying to do what you want to do and what your head tells you want to do, you're going to be wasting all of that energy. And as soon as you surrender, it'll be like floating, you know, downstream in a beautiful sunny river, and everything is going to open up, and you're going to be shocked at how much more energy you're going to have to do the things you want to do and how much happier you're going to be. So do everything you can to first live from your heart center, and number two, identify your personal destiny and do your best to follow it. But as I mentioned before, you know, it's a second by second choice, and don't get frustrated if you fall off, because we all do.
Yeah. And enjoy the journey.
Yes, absolutely.
And have fun with it. And if you're relearning a lesson, understand you're getting even more wisdom a little bit deeper from it, and understand that it's all good.
Yes, absolutely.
It definitely is. So with that, Scott, I am going to say thank you very much. Again, the book is Waiting for Autumn. There is another book that is available out there as well, called Summer's Path, which is almost the pre-sequel to this.
Yes, the prequel, right.
And it tells a little bit about the guide that you mean, your teacher.
Yeah, it's actually Dawn and Robert's journey before they meet me.
So that's something else you can check out on www.scottblum.net. And please check out the Daily Om. I read it every day, and I thank you very much for doing that for the universe, that kind of deal that humanity has definitely gained much wisdom from you and your wife, and I thank you very much for doing that.
Well, thank you.
And with this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Till next time, good night and many blessings.